Folks, today we begin our new series called Planted Through the Psalms. And it's I'm really looking forward to this series because I love the Psalms. Absolutely love it. It's one of the Psalms in which I go to when I'm going through times of difficulty, when I'm facing hardship, or I feel like God's not answering my prayers, or I love going to the Psalms because it's so real, right? These psalmists, they aren't holding back anything. They aren't trying to hide anything from God. They know God knows their heart. And so they're going to pour it all out before him. The praise and even the anger, the disappointment. It ranges. These psalmists all come together and they're just, despite their circumstances, they're going to God. And I think when we're looking at the Psalms, that's the hope. Right? That's the vision. And really, for me in this series, I look forward to it even because the guest speakers and everybody who's on the schedule to preach, they're all picking out psalms in which have helped them in times of trouble, which have encouraged them and motivated them to get through, to trust God despite what they were going through, to trust him rather than to turn away from him. In this series, I have two main hopes. The first hope is obviously encouragement and motivation. Because some of us in this room and those who aren't with us and you know are away, yeah, some of us might be in the depths. Some of us might be worn out and just slowly breaking down. Not thinking that God is answering my prayers. Does he hear me? What's going on? And sometimes we just need that encouragement to know that God is with us. He is good. He is faithful, and his loving kindness endures forever. The second hope that I have is actually a challenge to us. A challenge. A challenge to our thinking. A challenge to our mindset. Because oftentimes when we look at our lives, and culture does this as well, but a lot of us can say, okay, the Bible says God is good, he is faithful, and his loving kindness endures forever. But that is only true if my life is all in order, I get the promotion, I got the things, I got the money. But if that's not the case, if that doesn't line up, then it's false, and it's a lie. And I think I really want to challenge that thinking because God's faithfulness and his goodness isn't based off of our circumstances. No, he is the constant. He is the constant. And during our times of hardship, we got to learn and we got to rewire our thinking to be able to trust in him. And so I look forward to the Psalms. I'm really excited to go through this with y'all, and I'm excited to see what other speakers have to bring for us. But let's jump in. When we look at the Psalms, we know that it's a collection of 150 ancient Hebrew poems, songs, and prayers. These have been, we know King David has written a lot of them, right? We know there are worship leaders within the temple and all that time that I've wrote them. We even have some from King Solomon and Moses. And there are 49 of them that are unaccounted for, that are anonymous. However, when we look at the Psalms, it's not ancient Hebrew, ancient Israel's greatest hits, right? It's not just a collection of songs and poems and prayers, but in reality, it was brought together. It was compiled during the time in which Israel was exiled into Babylon. They got all of these Psalms together, and there is a unique message. A distinct message here for all of us. Well, firstly, to ancient Israel at that time and throughout history and to us today. But to know that theme, we got to look at the last five Psalms, which is 146 to 150, which begin and end with a command, hallelujah, which means praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This is a people who have been banished, exiled from their homes. The line of kings is broken, right? They're being oppressed by a foreign invader. They are going through hardships. They are, a lot of them, again, are from King David, who was running for his very life. And yet at the very end, it says, praise the Lord. We know that the Psalms are broken up into five different sections, five different books. And if you look at the very last psalm in each of these sections, they will also have a similar ending. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. How do we get to this? How do we get to this? I believe we can get to this point by looking through Psalms 1 and 2 as the lens in which we view the rest of the Psalms. And what is that? When we look at Psalm 2, like we did on Palm Sunday, we know that Jesus is the anointed one that will fulfill the promise that God made to King David. But in the very, historically, that psalm was meant for as an encouragement to ancient Israel to say, I know you're going through hardship, but there's an anointed one. There's a king who is coming, and he will establish his kingdom, and he will rule with good, true justice and peace. And it's great because we today find ourselves in that exact same pattern, that we wait with great anticipation for when Jesus Christ returns to fully fulfill that prophecy, to fully fulfill that promise where he will establish a new heavens and a new earth, a new kingdom, and will reign forever and ever. But in the meantime, what are we to do? What are we to do as we wait for Jesus to return? Do we simply just sit around waiting for him to come, for the trumpets to blast, for the heavens to crack open? Or do we live daily in light of Christ's return? And I believe that's what Psalm 1 is really bringing us to. Psalm 1, a lot of the themes that the psalmist here is bringing to us is that when we live our life, we are presented with two choices. We can either live a life that brings life, that is flourishing, that is a blessing to others, or we can bring ruin and destruction. That choice is up to us, and we'll see that in today's psalm. But we also realize and we also understand, and the psalmist brings a solution, right? Obviously, we want to live a life that brings blessing. We want to avoid a life that brings ruin. So how do we do that? The psalmist says, by being planted. By being planted in the Word of God, which is where we get our series title from. Let's move on. So we look at Psalm 1, right? Blessed is he who walks in... Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked or stand in the way of the sinners take or sit in the company of mockers. Blessed. What does that word mean? In this context, blessed has two meanings. The first one is obviously the one we're probably more familiar with, right? Blessing being one who experiences God's favor. Sorry, there should be a U there. Or God's abundance, right? God's favor or his abundance. But in this passage, we see it used in a second way, which is describing what people say about someone who is blessed. So the psalmist is saying that it is good for us to pursue a life of blessing. It is good for us to do so. And when we do that, people will look at our lives and they will say, wow, they are blessed by God. But let's look further into this. He says, blessed is the one who does not walk in the step with the wicked or stand in the way that sinners take or sit in the company of mockers. If you take a look at the green highlighted words, we see walk, stand, and sit. There's a progression here, isn't there? From someone who is walking, someone who is standing, to someone who is sitting. The psalmist here is warning us that if we walk in step with the wicked, if we stand in the way that sinners take, or if we sit in the company of mockers, we will get stuck. And that's the worst thing that we can be. We get stuck in this cycle of destruction and get stuck in this cycle of ruin. And all the choices we start making again, will not lead to life, but lead to ruin. In the blue, we see wicked, sinners, mockers, right? And when we look at that, and these words will come up again, so let's quickly talk about this. When we look at wicked, right? Wicked is someone who is morally backwards. Evil is good, and good is evil. They're willing to take advantage of vulnerable people for their own gain. The sinner is someone who misses the mark or the target. The target for the believer is to love God with all their heart, soul, and mind, and to love one another. A sinner is someone who fails to do that. And the mocker is someone who is completely against God. Someone who is completely apathetic towards everything God gives and cannot see and appreciate the goodness from God. Don't get stuck by accepting its advice, being party to its ways, or adopting its attitude. Derek Kidner says this, "Counsel, weigh, and seat, or assembly or company, draw attention to the realms of thinking, behaving, and belonging, in which a person's fundamental choice of allegiance is made and carried through. The three complete phrases show three aspects, indeed, three degrees of departure from God. By portraying conformity to this world at three different levels, accepting its advice, being party to its ways, adopting the most fatal of its attitudes." The psalmist here is inviting us to take a look, to stop and reflect and think about the choices that we make and how it affects us over time. Verse 2 says, "But whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night." When we look at the law of the Lord, that's also meaning God's instructions, his direction, God's wisdom. And so the way that the psalmist is saying to avoid the trap of getting stuck is by saying meditate. Meditate on the instructions of God. Meditate on God's wisdom. And this meditation is quite different than what we're used to. The world will say meditating is all about emptying your mind. But biblical meditation is actually filling your mind. And it's not just filling your mind, it's filling your mind with God's wisdom. And that word meditate ought to get us into a picture of mumbling, right? For me, when I read, I'll read a paragraph over and maybe even a sentence over and over and over. If I'm reading in my mind wanders, right? And so I'll get to the end of the paragraph and go, what did I just read? But what I had to do is actually read it aloud, mumble it out, so that I'm not only is it coming out of my lips, but it's also entering into my ears. And so it's this cycle of continual filling of my mind with God's word. It's not internal, it's verbal. And so the psalmist here is saying that what we think shapes how we live our lives. Verse 3 says, "That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yield its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers." We hear this language, garden language. And when the psalmist is using this language, it ought to remind us as a hyperlink to take us back to the Garden of Eden. Trees planted, streams of water, yielding fruits, whose leaf does not wither. This is the image of the tree of life. And so a person who meditates on the law of the Lord day and night, that comes to delight in it, is a tree planted, is a tree that brings life, whose leaf does not wither. Whatever the season comes or goes, whatever comes and goes, it stands firm. When it also talks about planted and yielding fruit, it means that we're not immune to the changings of the season. We're not immune to the hardships, but we will withstand them. Those who meditate on the law of the Lord will be planted. We will be sustained. We will have all that we need to endure the harshest of circumstances. Again, Derek Kidner says, "The phrase, its fruit in its season, emphasizes both the distinctiveness of the quiet growth of the product. For the tree is no mere channel piping the water unchanged from one place to another, but a living organism which absorbs it to produce in due course something new and delightful, proper to its kind and to its time. The promised immunity of the leaf from withering is not independence of the rhythm of the seasons, but freedom from the crippling damage of the drought. The psalmist in 3 says, listen, if you are meditating on the word of God, if you are constantly filling your mind with God's wisdom, you will be planted and nothing will be able to shake you. Nothing will be able to uproot you. You will stand firm no matter what life throws your way. But we see a difference in verse 4. He says, not so the wicked. They are like chaff and the wind blows them away. And we can see that, can't we? We can see how people crumble to the circumstances of life. We can see how people lose hope in the face of death. But to the believer, to the one who fears the Lord, to the one who meditates on the law of the Lord, they are not so. We will stand. And so we are left with two choices. The psalmist in Psalm 1 is leading us to two choices. We can either live a life that is flourishing or withering ruin. And the difference is on what you meditate. Are you going to meditate on the counsel of the wicked, stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the company of mockers? Or will you meditate on God's wisdom? So what does this mean for us then? What does this mean? Do we then avoid the wicked? Do we avoid the sinner? Do we avoid the mocker? No, we don't do any of these things. What we do is we look to Jesus. We look to Jesus. Because Jesus didn't avoid the wicked. Jesus didn't avoid the sinner or the mocker. No, he walked. He stood and he sat with them. Even to the point where he, being a tree of life to all those around him, where he climbed onto a tree of death. So that we may have life. So that we may be able to be a tree of life to those who are around us. And so as we look to Jesus, may that be our motivation. May that be the power within us to be a blessing to those around us. And meditate. Romans 12:2 says, don't conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Fill your minds with God's wisdom. Anchor yourself in the word of the unchanging word of God. And no matter what comes your way, you will be able to withstand it. Mainly because Jesus withstood it for you and for me. And that same power resides within each and every one of us who call upon the name of Jesus as Lord and Savior. Brothers and sisters, as we go through this Psalms series called Planted, I hope you find great encouragement to find yourselves planting yourselves in God's word. I hope you find great encouragement to reach out from the depths, to grab the hand of Jesus to pull you up. But I also hope that you will find challenge to not conform the Bible to our standards, no, but that we conform our standards to the word of God. So bow your heads with me in a word of prayer. Lord, we just want to thank you for your word. And I know we rushed through Psalm 1, but I pray as we continue to meditate on your word, as we go about and meditate through the Psalms, may your Holy Spirit work within our hearts, work within our minds, so that we may be trees of life, that we may be firmly planted by streams of living water, that we will yield fruit in season and out of season, that we may be a blessing to all those around us for your kingdom's sake. For your will here on earth. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.